Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're glad you're with us as today we continue in our study series from the book of Hebrews. So far, Bob and Richard have shared many, many very exciting and insightful things out of this great book, and I'm sure today's study will be no exception. So, Bob, where do we start today?
We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11, and it's one of the most exciting chapters in the Word of God because we see this gospel message lived out in the lives of people. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not just a series of beliefs and doctrines that we give mental assent to. We don't check the box and say, this is what I believe. This is actually about real life, and it's Christ sharing his life with us and living that life out through us, and we get to see some pictures, some sketches of that in this particular chapter. Last week, we ended on a very encouraging note. We talked about the truths that God has laid out for us in this book of Hebrews, the finished work of Jesus, this sacrifice that took away our sins once and for all, this sacrifice that made us holy, that made us perfect in the sight of God. And then we ask the question, what is our response? And our response is a response of faith. We believe that. We trust in what Christ has done. We rest in his finished work. Now, he gave a stern warning. He said to those who reject this, who've mm-hmm. heard this news yet reject it, then, you know, there's nothing left to offer. I mean, this is God's final word to man. Jesus Christ himself is God's final word to man. He's the highest word to man. He brings such a great salvation. And if we reject that salvation, then there's nothing else left right. except eternal death. But then he picks up on an encouraging note, and he says, but remember the former days when you were enlightened, you suffered because you saw some truth. It's unseen to the human eye, but you saw it for what it was. You saw the spiritual ramifications of this good news, of this sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so your soul didn't shrink back. Your soul moved forward in faith. And he says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And those who live by faith, then they find pleasure in God, and God finds pleasure in them. So that's the setup for Hebrews 11, that the righteous will live by faith. Well, what does that faith look like? And so right out of the chute in chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews gives us a definition of faith. And here's that definition. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So that is a very concise, clear statement concerning the nature of faith. And so let's talk about that a little bit. There's two really key words in here. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. So, Richard, what do those words mean in the Greek? What's kind of the idea that they're trying to express to us?
Yeah, this is some of my favorite passages. One of those things that it's so short and pithy, and yet it just expands. It's just bigger than life. So this word assurance actually means that this is the thing that underlies what is apparent. So if you can imagine a computer or a telephone or a camera or a car, that's the apparent thing. But this assurance is the reality underneath that view, okay? So it's the essence of something, the actual substance of something. It's actually the guarantee that what you see is real. And all you have to know is a little bit about Hollywood to understand how this works. What is a facade? It's a thing that's made to look like a building or a car.
Yeah.
But it is not. Well, in this case, there is this assurance that is based on an underlying truth. Well, for all the Old Testament saints, this was the word of the one true God. I'm going to crush the serpent's head. I'm going to bring Messiah through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Judah. And then to the prophets, he was always showing up and telling them what was coming. So they had some assurance of that because it was guaranteed by the being who was the essence of the promise itself. For us, we have Jesus, the final revelation of God to mankind. You can't get better than that.
No, you can't.
Our assurance is based on Jesus himself. Well, what is it we've hoped for? Well, they hoped for the Messiah. We hope for the returning King of the universe, Jesus himself. And he's told us he's coming back. That's pretty strong assurance.
Right.
This word conviction is actually a legal term. It's kind of a strange way to think about it in this, but it applies. It's not merely the charge on the basis of one of which one is convicted, but it's the manifestation of the truth of that charge. So I'm not convicted just because somebody said I stole something. I'm convicted because I actually stole it. See, that underlying truth that goes beyond what is seen or talked about. And in this case, he turns the word from a negative word to a positive word, because now we're talking about the truth on the part of what it is we're talking about, the conviction of things not seen. Well, Jesus, again, who is our assurance, said things like, "You're forgiven. You have eternal life. No one can snatch you out of my hands. You are justified. You are righteous. You are holy. You are set apart." Those things we can talk about and we can write the words down, but there's got to be an underlying conviction based on who declared us to be these things that determines the truth or falsehood of those things. It's not based on my logic or your logic or any human feeling about this stuff. It's based on the Word of God itself. Unchangeable things. God himself, Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God itself. We can be pretty certain of the things that we're hoping for and convicted of. That's faith.
Yeah. And when you think about what we've just covered in Hebrews chapter 10 mm-hmm. and 9 about the fact that Jesus passing through the heavenlies
yes.
and offering himself in the real temple, the real holy of mm-hmm. holies, not the man-made things that
You're
are
right.
down here on earth, but things that we can't see. And so this faith is that assurance that it actually happened, that
yeah.
propitiation took place, that God was satisfied, that sins were removed from us and placed on Jesus. In exchange, we receive the righteousness of God. These are things that we cannot see, but faith gives us the assurance and gives us the conviction
yeah.
that, yes, indeed, this is the ultimate reality. The things that we see don't compare to the reality that we have in Christ.
And that's the problem with much of the argument that goes on within Christianity today. This isn't an issue of gradations of saved or lost or forgiven or sinful. This is A or B,
yes.
X or Y, yes or no. We cannot say to Jesus, "Well, I think you forgave us some of our sins." He either forgave everything or he forgave
it's
nothing.
It's binary.
Yeah, why
yes
are we
no.
even arguing about this stuff? If it's not true, it's not true.
Yes.
But don't bother me about that. I believe it's true based on Jesus himself. And so there's no middle ground. There can be no middle ground in this conversation.
Yes.
Well, friends, if you've joined us in progress, you're listening to the weekly study series through the book of Hebrews with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and I'm glad that you're with us today. Friends, you know, Basic Gospel constantly has opportunities set before us to expand the outreach of this ministry, and the only thing really standing between us and doing that is a lack of funding. That's why we constantly speak of this particular need. There are countless others who have not yet heard of the opportunity to hear the Basic Gospel message. We need everyone listening to help us carry this message far beyond its current boundaries. Others need to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you can, click donate at basicgospel.net and make your most generous contribution this month. You can also call 844-322-2742 to make that contribution. Make your best gift today and help this message go far and wide. Again, 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. And so faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. That's the nature, that's the quality of this faith that we have in Christ.
Yes.
And faith is not a word that is just on its own. It doesn't have a power within itself.
Correct.
Faith has meaning only when it's connected to Jesus.
Yeah.
If it's connected to anything else, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, it's futile, it's vain, it's of no value, mm-hmm. it's meaningless. But connected to Jesus, faith is of infinite worth, of eternal worth and value. Why? Because we're connected through this faith to the ultimate reality. And it's this faith that brings about a commendation from God. So God commends us for our faith. And in this particular chapter, we're going to see God commending the saints of old for their faith.
Yes.
And how he's going to describe their faith is in their actions and how they lived it out in their particular circumstances of life. So faith isn't a static word. Faith is a dynamic word. There's life infused in it, the very life of Jesus Christ, the very love of Jesus Christ that spells itself out in our day-to-day lives. And I love how the writer of Hebrews does this. He's gone through a lot of technical things, mm-hmm. and he says, let's put a little flesh and blood on it. Let's look at some people we know, and let's see how God's going to tell their story. And that's exactly what he does
here.
Yes. So there's a commendation that comes to those who have faith, who believe, who have this assurance, who have this conviction of things not seen. And so he starts out. So he says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Now, that's not something that we were there to witness.
Correct.
But we do see the universe, mm-hmm. and we do see the invisible attributes of God within the universe. And so it's that unseen, those things that we cannot see with our eyes, but we know that's the reality. So we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible. So out of nothing came something.
Yes.
Now, scientists are trying to do everything in their power to negate that. They want to say, no, there was something. There's always been something. But they cannot make that leap as to how it happened. So they're wanting to put eyes on it. And they're not going to believe something until they put eyes on it. But they're never going to discover the origin if they keep denying that God exists.
Yeah.
So we believe that he exists, and we believe that he made something out of nothing, just by speaking it, the word of God, Jesus Christ himself, bringing it into being. Then he gets into the people stories. By faith, Abel goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 and 5 and talks about Abel. And it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. So the righteous shall live by faith. When we believe God, when we take him at his word, we are credited righteousness. We see that all throughout the Old Testament, and that's true of us today. When we trust God, God gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, makes us righteous in his sight. So Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. What made it acceptable? The fact
faith.
That it was by faith.
Yeah.
He offered it in faith. Cain obviously did not offer it in faith. Now, folks have talked about the nature of the sacrifice, the fact that Abel brought an animal and Cain brought just something from the fields.
Mm-hmm.
Well, could that be it? But it really gets down to the substance of their heart.
Yeah.
That Abel brought it by faith, Cain did not.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Simple as that.
Yeah, and I think we just need to leave it there. So then he talks about through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. He's talking about Abel. And he comes back to Abel a couple of times in this chapter. And other writers in the New Testament come back to Abel. And they speak about his blood, and they speak about the fact that Christ's blood has a better message for us.
Yeah.
And so we need to recognize that. Then he goes to Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. Now, how would you like to be Enoch?
I mean,
not
bad.
He lived a certain to a certain age, and then he was just taken.
Yeah.
That's all we know. And that's pretty neat. Well, why was he taken? Well, he was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something that we all long to do in life?
Yeah.
That you know, if I just strip off all the exterior things that I'm interested in life and look down at the deepest part of who I am, at that deepest level, the one desire is to be be pleasing to God, is to know that I'm right in His sight. That's what we long for. That's why we do a lot of the things that we do. That's why so many people will go to church, or so many people will read their Bible, or so many people will get involved in charity work, because they're hoping to do something that is going to bring God's favor in their lives. But there's only one way to bring God's favor into your life, and that is through faith. And that's exactly what Enoch did. He walked by faith. He walked with the Lord in a faith, trust, dependent relationship. And that's the only way that we're going to please God. So if you're trying to please God right now, and boy, I did that for a long time. I wanted to be God's guy. And that's what drove me. That's what motivated me. That's what compelled every single action I did. And every single one, it left me wanting. I didn't feel like I had pleased God. And I knew I hadn't. I had failed Him time and time and time again. I didn't bring pleasure to Him. I just brought disappointment. That's what I felt. But then I finally trusted the Lord for what He accomplished through Christ's death, His burial, and His resurrection. And it was that faith that brought God's pleasure into my life. And the same is true for you. So if you're working yourself like crazy to try to get God to like you, stop it. Stop it. Take a look at Jesus and trust Jesus. Let the work of Jesus give you the assurance of things hoped for. Let the work of Jesus give you the conviction, the evidence of things not seen. Rest in that finished work. Rejoice in the fact that His life is now yours in Christ. And that's how you're going to find favor and pleasure in the sight of God. And he goes on to say that in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There's only one way to please God, and that is through faith. And what does that faith look like? He spells it out there for us again in verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. So we have to have this understanding that God is real, that He's not just a figment of our imagination. He's just not a made-up story, that He is the very being behind everything that we see. He is the giver of good gifts, that everything comes from His hand into ours. We have to believe that because it's true. And so we believe He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. How does He reward us? Well, it's not through more money, and it's not through big fancy cars. He rewards us with Himself.
Yeah.
When we're seeking Him, He makes Himself available to us. He reveals Himself to us. He comes to live inside of us. So the reward of faith is God Himself. It's Christ Himself. And there's no greater treasure than knowing Him. And faith is what enables us to have eyes to see and eyes and heart to know.
Oh.
And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
That's what God wants for us more than anything else, is for us to know Him and the great love that He's poured out on us in Christ.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. It's our study through the book of Hebrews with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, and what a study it is. Friends, if you've missed any of the sessions along the way or to review everything that we've covered so far, just visit the website, basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire Hebrew series is right there for you. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. And we hope you're loving the study as much as we are loving bringing it to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, now we're going to look at faith in action. We're going to look at more of these Old Testament saints and how they lived out their faith. Noah. That's the next person in the lineup. He built an ark. Well, why was that faith? Well, because God told him that this impending flood was coming, and he needed to do something. And he told him exactly what to do. So Noah believed him, yeah. And he built this ark. He built it to the specifications that God called for. And that ark was the plan to save his family and to anyone that wanted to get on that. That was the plan of God for salvation, for deliverance from the flood. And so in doing that, he acted to save his family. He condemned the world. He said exactly the same thing about the world that God did. And he provided a way of salvation, and so he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Abraham is the next guy. He left his home not knowing where he was going to live in a land of promise.
Wow.
So God just shows up, and I think that's important for us to know. God pursues us, and he shows up in our lives. That was the case for Abraham. God showed up, and he said, "This is what I want for you. I want you to get up. I want you to leave the comfort of your home that's right here, and I want you to go, and you'll get there, and I'll tell you when you get there, but I want you to go, and it's going to be a land of promise." And so he did, but he knew that wherever he went, God had something more, and that's what the writer of Hebrews says, that Abraham was looking forward to the city whose designer and builder is God. And we're all going to be a part of that city. It's the new Jerusalem that is going to come down from heaven at the end when everything is made new. So Abraham saw that.
Yeah.
This faith enabled him to see a thing that was yet unseen, that had yet to be made real in this world, made visible to us. And yet through eyes of faith, he saw it, and that's what he longed for.
Yes.
That's, talk about faith. That is faith.
Yeah.
Sarah received the power to conceive. I mean, her womb was dead. She was past the age of being able to give birth to a child. Yet God did something. Why? Because she considered the one who had promised as faithful. Abraham was as good as dead, yet from this one man, this one union, the descendants are as many as the stars or the sand on the seashores.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. But they all died in faith. And folks, mark that, because that's significant. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that we're dead in transgressions and sins. If we don't receive the Lord, if we don't respond by faith to him, then when we die physically, we're going to die in those sins, and that's going to be our eternal state.
Yeah.
But these saints of old, they didn't die in their sins. They died in faith.
Yes.
And that is an amazing story, and that's what God wants us to know, that they did not die in sin, and even though they did not receive the things promised, they saw and welcomed them. They recognized that they were strangers and exiled, and they desired a heavenly home. That's what faith is all about.
And that's the Basic Gospel message, and thanks for being with us for this study in the book of Hebrews, friends. Remember that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and we need your help to sustain the ministry and take this message to others who need to know of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's work together, friends, to make that happen. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. And when you give this month, we have a special gift to say thanks for your partnership. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis, with your invitation to be with us again on Monday after a great weekend and the Lord Jesus. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.